Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. What will your children be learning in Lutheran schools this year? Particularly, how do we teach about Jesus? What is it? What is the message when we gather around his word in school chapels? What is the message that they'll most likely be hearing as they gather together in schools? We're going to talk about that today and take a look at the chapel talks for this academic year, for the school year in Lutheran schools in the first half. In the second half, we'll take a look at guilt and forgiveness and its effect on health, a new resource available on that as well. So you will find out more about that in the second half of the program. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. Find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Joining me by phone this morning, the Reverend Bob Riggert, author of this year's Chapel Talks, Upon This Rock, 2016-17 Chapel Talks for Lutheran Schools. Pastor Riggert, welcome to Faith and Family.
Good morning. Thank you, Andy. I look forward to the conversation.
Thanks for taking some time to share with us about school ministry and what happens in chapels. Tell us a little bit about your ministry, both as a teacher, a principal, a pastor, an education executive. You're serving in the district office. Tell us a little bit about your work and your service to the church.
It's just been a wonderful journey that continues with opportunities. I grew up going to a two-room Lutheran school in northern Kansas, and that shaped my desire for ministry. Went to, at that time, Concordia Teachers College, Seward, where I met my wife and launched into a teaching ministry in Cleveland, Ohio, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, where I was a teacher principal. Part of that journey was, I think lots of people had told me through the years I should consider the pastoral ministry, and I kind of rebelled against that. While teaching in Fort Wayne, Indiana, the seminary moved from Springfield to Fort Wayne, and I ran out of excuses since it was in my backyard. And that led me to the pastoral ministry, several congregations in Iowa. And then in 1997, I received the call to be executive assistant for education and youth and ultimately stewardship in Iowa District West, where I got to work with the Lutheran schools of the district and really got to connect. I was blessed to be part of a school cabinet that Bill Cochran started at that time, and was blessed to see Lutheran schools around the country. So God's just given me lots of opportunities, Andy.
Tell me about why you accepted the noble task of preparing the chapel talks for Lutheran schools for this coming year.
Well, I did so at the invitation of Terry Schmidt and his partners. This is really my the third time that I've written the chapel talks. I did so in 2009 and 10 under the theme "Christ Be My Leader." Did so last year under the theme Life Together. And Terry approached me again this year, whether I would consider that that assignment. It's just a wonderful opportunity because it's such a, that weekly chapel time is such an integral part of the life of the Lutheran school. And having a resource that's child-friendly, certainly Christ-centered, child-friendly, teacher-pastor-friendly, is something real close to my heart. And so I dove in again. I was really excited about the topic Upon This Rock, which, as most of us know, was also the theme of the Synodical Convention just completed. And I think school ministry obviously chose that theme very, very intentionally because Lutheran schools are such an integral part of who we are as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so to take that theme from a convention floor to every congregation and to every Lutheran school is really a neat opportunity.
How can schools use this resource, this book of Chapel Talks?
Well, I think traditionally, most Lutheran schools that I'm familiar with have a weekly chapel time, and this resource, the resource includes not only the chapel talk, it also includes the accompanying text. It includes a potential hymn for the pastor or teacher or who's ever leading that chapel. Most of what you need for that is right in front of you. I hope it's very, very user friendly. One of the things we've done the last couple of years, which seems to have been greatly appreciated by schools and churches, is the chapel talks are based on the assigned readings for the week. So the Sunday morning, the lessons that they hear in the Sunday morning worship service are picked up again then in the weekly chapel service. So really it becomes a theme for the week. We bring Sunday morning back into the school for the week. So that seems to have been seems to be really, really appreciated by many. And certainly it's available for the pastor who is leading that service, and for the pastor who maybe their background is not education. How do you construct a service, if you will, that connects the children to the lessons? It's designed to be very user-friendly for whoever uses it. What's exciting about this year's resource, and Matt Burkhold and others at the school ministry office just did a wonderful job of designing it. The rock theme ties into every chapel in one way or another. It's organized in such a way we start with rock collecting, which is a object lesson. A rock exploration, which is an introduction to the lesson of the day. And then we get to standing on the rock, where we really get into the text, and the desire, obviously, is that in every lesson, every week, they meet the rock that is Jesus. And then it concludes with relying on the rock, which is a prayer. So really the whole chapel service, in a sense, is right in front of you. Obviously, there are opportunities for adaptation for the local setting, but without too much additional work, the leader has a chapel service right in front of them.
What is unique about the ministry of Lutheran schools when it comes to what is unique about Lutheran schools and this opportunity to gather together for worship?
Oh, it's at the heart, Andy, of who the Lutheran school is. You know, a Lutheran school is built on the rock. You know, whether it's built on the black soils of the Midwest or the sandy soils of the coast or whatever, wherever that Lutheran school is, it's built on the rock that is Jesus. And that is celebrated in worship, in the worship in the classroom. And in most school settings then, the whole school gets together for a half hour or whatever time limit and gathers in worship. And over the years, whether it's in the district role or whatever, I've led lots of school chapel services. And it is to hear these kids sing and to energetically worship, it's just a highlight of the week for many of our Lutheran schools.
As you see students gathering together in worship, whether they're preschool students or eighth grade students, maybe even high school students, What is your hope that they would gain, or that they might experience in that worship?
That they would again see and celebrate Jesus. That they get a connection again with Jesus, and they especially get that as a worshiping community. That the Lutheran school worships together. I know several schools that do chapel families, mm-hmm. where they will have a kindergartner and an eighth grader sitting in the pew together. And it really demonstrates that that we are a family together as a school, and as that family we worship together. I know a number of Lutheran schools also that weekly chapel time is families of the church, families of the school are also invited to participate, that it really becomes another worship opportunity in the congregation or the association of the school.
Let's revisit the theme. Tell me a little bit more about the theme for this year, Upon This Rock.
Yeah, it's based upon the passage from Isaiah chapter 26, where the Lord, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord our God is an everlasting rock. That was given to me as the theme passage to build everything around. And then I think a couple of other key texts. Would be the Matthew 16 Jesus dialogue with Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus follows up on this rock, on this confession, on this truth of Christ. You know, everything is built. The other text that just kind of energized me is the 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4, where it talks about, and the rock is Christ. So the intent really is to leave no doubt that the rock upon which our individual faith, the rock upon which our Lutheran schools is built is Christ. And we just want that message. I just want that message to come out clearly every week, certainly every day, but every week. So that's where that rock picture, that rock theme is really an exciting one to build around or build on.
How did you utilize that theme? How did you work with that theme as you wrote the chapel talks for this year?
Well, again, it's built upon the assigned lessons for the week, like the first Sunday in Advent to those. And what I did is looked at the three texts and say, how can we bring a rock emphasis out of one of these lessons. So in every lesson, the title rock is included in the lessons, and hopefully not in a, we really got to stretch this, but hopefully in a very meaningful, comfortable way. So as I built them, every week we look for some way to tie in the rock. And build around that, or build on that.
How might this extend into the home? How might this theme and the messages extend into the home? What would you like for them to bring
home? I really appreciate that question, Andy. And I think Lutheran School Ministries has a broader vision this year for this resource. Traditionally, it's been a resource for Lutheran schools chapels, and that's still a primary focus. But the availability of it this year, online, et cetera, makes it available to any family, homeschool family, any family that wants an additional family devotion resource. I think it could be, hopefully, my prayer would be that the schools would emphasize this is our theme for the week. By the way, this theme is also being used for National Lutheran Schools Week this year. I've been asked I was asked to write the materials for that. So really, this is a theme for Lutheran schools and Lutheran school families for the whole year. And so families can access it. Homeschool families can go to the LCMS School Ministry website, and they can easily find the chapels, and they can click on it, and they can order it. They can download it for free, or there's also directions there of how they can order a hard copy. So, again, to the credit of Lutheran School Ministry and others, this resource is being dispensed generously throughout the church. Another place that it might be used, because it's built on the assigned lessons, the pericopes for the week, it could also be a resource for congregations that don't have a Lutheran school, and the pastor is looking for a resource for children's lessons. It could also be, I think, a very, very handy resource for that setting also.
Certainly. Well, it's relatively easy to get. You can find it on the LCMS website in PDF version, or if you want a hard copy of it, you can get it on Amazon, which is a new thing this year, right?
Exactly. $9.99 plus shipping. So, and in years past, I think they charged $20. So there's a real effort to make a resource available to the church. Go to LCMS School Ministry, and it's right there.
LCMS.org, you can search for the Chapel Talks, 2016-17 Chapel Talks, and it's pretty easy to get a hold of. And certainly schools will be using this year, but as you pointed out, it's a great tool for families at home as well to reflect on the Sunday pericope, the Sunday readings.
Correct.
Well, I like what you've done with how you've utilized the theme Upon This Rock with each week's message and how that plays out in the book, looking at the theme for each week, using the term rock and rock collecting, rock exploration, standing on the rock in each week. What as you were preparing these and as you were writing these, where did you find yourself? Where did you find yourself writing these? What was helping you prepare as you were studying God's Word to write these?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess the desire always is again to be on Christ the Rock. I also went back to my Lutheran school experience. We certainly want these to be child-friendly in the sense that kids can understand the concept. So I guess I kept in mind an elementary audience, but certainly I'd want to emphasize, I think with very little adaptation, that they certainly could be used by preschools. They're not limited to elementary. The other place I found myself, I'm blessed with 13 grandchildren, and a number of them are elementary school age. So part of the audience that I have in my mind is my own grandchildren. What would I want them to hear and see and experience as these truths are shared with them?
Looking ahead to the school year, looking ahead at what lies ahead in 2016-2017, we don't know what will happen, and it seems like our culture, our country, those things are ever changing and not always heading in a direction that perhaps we would hope for. But how do you think the message that's proclaimed in Upon This Rock in the Chapel Talks this year will help students face this world around them, help students and their families face this world around them? And
I think that's an excellent analogy. Lots of things are crumbling around us, you know, and whether that's on a grand scale or in the individual lives of students, you know, they may see their parents' marriage crumble. They just, things are always crumbling. And we want the kids to know the truth that Christ the Rock is always solid. You know, the Isaiah 26 passage says he's the everlasting rock. That will never crumble. And they can stand on that in every experience, every phase of their life. And if a Lutheran school and the chapel time can be one of the partners in helping to build a faith that always stands on that rock, you know, that's just really what we're about.
Why is it important for us to have Lutheran schools today? Why is it important to have this network of Lutheran schools and the kind staff here at the International Center who helps support those schools to help LCMS School Ministry continue strong and to grow? Why is it important for us to have Lutheran schools today?
Because Christ is their rock. They're a rock of our church. I think historically, and again in uncertain times, where basic biblical truths are questioned and sometimes ridiculed, to have our kids on the rock in a Lutheran school is just more important than ever, and I think lots of families recognize that. I think our school office does a great job, as do the districts across the Synod, of trying to resource them and help them be that place.
With about a minute and a half left, Bob, tell me, do you have a favorite chapel talk from this year's chapel talks?
Oh, wow. the introduction and the conclusion, there's one for every week, and we have one for the opening service, and it's based upon the Isaiah 26 verse 4 pastors. The Lord is the everlasting rock. And one of the things that we do in that one is we invite the schools to share with their kids some of the history of the school on the opening day. And the emphasis that, you know, the buildings may change, the staff may change, there may be some changes from the previous school year, but one thing is always the same, and that is this school stands on the rock that is Jesus, and that's the foundation we want to put for the school chapel series and for the school year. So I guess everything kind of flows from that.
The Reverend Bob Riggert, author of Upon This Rock, 2016-17 Chapel Talks for Lutheran Schools. Pastor Riggert, thanks so much for being my guest today and sharing with us about this great resource.
Thank you for the opportunity, Andy, and blessings to you and to our Lutheran schools.
Thank you. God bless you, too. You can, again, you can find the resource on lcms.org. Look for Chapel Talks. You can search for it, or you can look for it in LCMS School Ministry there on the website. You can also find it, that's the free download on lcms.org. If you want to buy a printed copy of it, you can do that on amazon.com. Just take a look on amazon.com for Upon This Rock, 2016-17 Chapel Talks for Lutheran Schools. We're going to continue our conversation. We'll take a look at how guilt and forgiveness affect health right here on Faith and Family. That's up next on Worldwide KFUO.
Thank you. Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Here's important news for parents who take their kids to pediatricians. The American Academy of Pediatrics outright rejects sexual abstinence until marriage and is advocating pediatricians initiate early sex education with young children. This is contrary to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, which advocate pediatricians encourage abstinence until marriage or encourage children to stop engaging in sex because it's the safest and healthiest lifestyle choice. Parents, be on guard. If your pediatrician wants to talk with your children privately without your presence, say no. Don't risk them trying to indoctrinate your children with their brand of sex education with values likely counter to your own.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Who are KFUO Day sponsors? They're people like you. They're listeners who appreciate and support the Lord's work in broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ every day. For more information on becoming a KFUO Day sponsor, contact Mary Schmidt at 314-996-1518 or Joni Harwell at 314-996-1512 or email us to find out more at gifts@kfuo.org.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Listen to Worldwide KFUO a click away 24 hours a day at KFUO.org. With our KFUO website and smartphone apps, you can listen to our live stream and our on-demand programs and podcasts anytime, day or night. Listen to Worldwide KFUO when you're available and where you are. Listen on your car radio, Bluetooth devices, smartphones, podcast players, Wi-Fi radios, and so many other listening devices. Listen today, tonight, tomorrow, whenever. And tell your friends about KFUO a click away 24 hours a day at KFUO.org.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsors on this Friday, August 5th, 2016. Today's day sponsors are the children and grandchildren of Art Walther. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in honor of Art Walther on what would have been his 100th birthday today. They are thankful to God for the blessings of such a wonderful father and grandfather. Once again, we say thank you to the children and grandchildren of Art Walther, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsors.
Start your weekday mornings with me, Andy Bates. We'll share news pertinent to the Christian life and engaging conversation with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We'll enjoy music of the church, scripture reading, and a study of the daily New Testament reading with a guest pastor. And we'll join together in morning prayer. Weekday mornings 7 to 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Rich.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks for hanging in there with us. It is time now to move on to our next guest, Dr. Mark Rockenbach of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Dr. Rockenbach, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you today. Thanks so much for being our guest. Glad we were able to get connected. I think the rain here is affecting the phone lines in St. Louis. Well, thanks for being our guest. Tell us a little bit about your work at Concordia Seminary as Associate Professor of Pastoral Theology, correct?
That's correct. Yeah, so I teach here at the seminary in primarily the pastoral department. So I teach pastoral counseling courses, pastoral theology courses, and I also have the opportunity to do psychological testing for our students. So we give them personality behavioral tests, and I work with them on that to identify their strengths and their growth areas. And that's part of what I do here at the seminary.
And you teamed up with LCMS Life and our health ministry, our parish nurse ministry, and served as the speaker for part of the video lecture series recently and on guilt and forgiveness and its effect on health. Tell me a little bit about being involved with working with parish nurses and why you accepted this noble task.
Sure. Well, parish nurses are a very important part of congregations. Not all congregations are blessed to have a parish nurse, but parish nurses do a lot for the congregation by giving like presentations about various health topics. Sometimes they're found many times, doing blood pressures, in between services or the like, helping people understand maybe diagnosis or medication that they're taking. And as they're doing this, they're not only like a professional nurse, but they're also serving in as kind of a spiritual caregiver in many ways also. And so people will talk to them about other things besides just simply their physical health. They'll talk about their spiritual health. They'll talk about things that they're wrestling and struggling with in their lives. And so that relates to the topic they asked me to talk about for their video series is because people do wrestle and struggle with conflict. They wrestle and struggle with their own sins and forgiveness and what this means for them. And so the hope was to be able to provide parish nurses an opportunity to learn a little bit more about forgiveness and maybe even how to talk to people about that and give them hope that there is forgiveness in the variety of different circumstances that they may be struggling or wrestling with.
Let's start with guilt. How does guilt affect us? Obviously in multiple ways. How does guilt affect us from various perspectives?
Well, there is a distinction, and I don't talk about this in the video, but there is a distinction between guilt and shame that's sometimes helpful to make. And with guilt, it's more about I did something wrong, I got caught, and so people usually want to make amends in some fashion. Guilt is a very uncomfortable feeling. So if I catch one of my children doing something wrong and call them to accountability on it, they know I caught them. And so guilt has to do a lot with, an actual sin we've done, and we need to make amends for that somehow. And shame has a lot more to do probably with people feeling that they're a bad person. And it has a lot to do with their identity as well. Shame, while guilt is more of an uncomfortable feeling, shame is a painful feeling. And so people who struggle with shame struggle with probably, just the fact that they're originally sinful. And either something they've done or something someone else has done has caused shame for them. And there can be overlap with the two. But I think it's important to make that distinction because it helps better to know, like, if you're working with someone, whether they're struggling with guilt or shame makes a difference of how you talk to them about forgiveness or how you help them to work through the various issues that are going on in their life.
So guilt certainly can affect our, as well as shame, both can affect our thinking and our thought process. And so that certainly could have a negative effect on us in terms of how it might disrupt my thoughts or make it difficult for me to concentrate, might make it difficult for me to to stay focused long enough to do the things before me.
Right. It gets in the way of a lot of things. And ultimately, associatism, sin is attached to that. Mm-hmm. Sin gets in the way of, it gets in the way of our relationship with God, ultimately. That was the problem with Adam and Eve in the garden. Sin got in the way, and there were consequences, and things happened, and a broken relationship took place. So we have a broken relationship with God, but we also have a broken relationship with one another. And so we live in this brokenness, but the hope is, you know, God has provided a way to bring healing to that and to heal that brokenness. And ultimately that's through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the hope then. And that's the hope you can give as you work with people, however they're struggling with things. So like, let's use guilt. If someone's done something wrong, you know, they've stolen something, You can, and they've got caught or they've confessed this. Well, you can speak words of forgiveness to them. You can assure them that sin is forgiven because of Jesus Christ, and that's what brings them hope, and that's what brings them peace. Someone who's struggling with shame, maybe struggling with, shame comes in a lot of different ways. I kind of talk about it as it's kind of this unwanted shadow, you know, that's there. And something that someone else has done can bring shame upon you. But since it has to do with identity, you can remind people that they're a child of God. And you can tell them, you know, you are a child of God. And so you help them think about themselves differently rather than being something that they're very shameful of. Being a child of God is something that they can be, that can bring hope and can bring joy in the situation.
How further might guilt or shame affect us other than just our thoughts?
Well, it also, now this relates well to the parish nurse then video in regards to our physical well-being. So in the research, it has shown that if people are struggling with guilt, they're struggling with shame, they're struggling with unforgiveness is another one I'll throw out there. When they struggle with these things, it has a negative impact upon their overall physical health. They will be less active usually. There's been studies that have shown that it affects blood pressure levels. And I mean, they've done studies on forgiveness where those who are more forgiving recovered more quickly in a hospital setting than those who were not forgiving. And it has a lot to do with our attitude, how we look at ourselves, perceive ourselves, and the hope that we have. So if you're unforgiving and you got all this stuff going on, you have all these broken relationships and you think God's against you, you don't have much hope, and that affects then your ability to recover physically. It also has an impact upon mental health too. So, for example, we know that people have issues of depression, for example, or anxiety, or even anger issues. If you are unforgiving, or if you feel that you're unforgivable, or whatever the case may be, then you'll have more depression. And what happens is, we call this in the psychological world cognitive looping or rumination. People will fixate upon this thing, whatever it is, in a negative way, which then affects them negatively physically and also mentally. And theological terms, I always call unforgiveness. So we end up being unforgiving, and it just has a negative effect upon us. Now, the hope in all this is that, when we realize that we're children of God and we're reminded of that, and we realize there's forgiveness for us, and then we can forgive other people then for things they've done against us, then we are physically, emotionally, mentally more healthy. And so there is a connection then between the guilt and the shame, sin, unforgiveness, and our overall overall health.
What are steps that we can take in dealing with guilt and shame to avoid it affecting our health in such a negative way?
Well, one of the things, I did my PhD research on forgiveness, and so one of the things I found in the work that I did, what I did is I interviewed people who had been sinned against, and they had gotten to a point where they actually forgave the other person. And so I wanted to understand, as a qualitative study, I wanted to understand the process they went through, the experience that they had. And one of the things that they all said was there was something outside of themselves that had an impact upon their lives. So if you're struggling with shame or guilt or sin or unforgiveness or all these things, and you're feeling miserable about it, I mean, it's affecting your whole world and in many negative ways, it's important to have something outside yourself. In other words, I always tell my students here at seminary, this is why you're so important, because many of them talked about how they went and talked to their pastor. And their pastor was there to be able to help them through this. You can't do this on your own. And those who try to do it on their own, they end up being isolated. And isolation's a bad thing. When you become isolated, you begin to think about things that are just not theological correct or even psychologically correct many times. And so having someone on the outside that you trust you can go talk to, like your pastor or a parish nurse, or a DCE, or there's a lot of different professional church workers who you can go and talk with, that they can help you through these times and just help you to kind of process what's going on. And part of it is then being able to say what's going on and being okay with saying it and not trying to hide it. So many people try to hide it. And the more you hide it, the worse it gets. In fact, research has shown that the better off you are to speak it and attend to it, the more likelihood it is that you'll be able to get through that. You know, it's a psychological way of talking about it. Theologically, we talk about in terms of how Christ then can, you know, that good message of Christ can come to you. So one of the biggest things is making sure that we provide opportunities for people where they can go talk to someone about this and train people how it is that they can talk to and help them through these times when they're struggling. So that's kind of one of the biggest things that I think is important to know, and that when you go, those who you talk to, they're going to share the gospel with you. They're going to share God's peace, God's joy, and that ultimately is that Jesus Christ suffered, died, and rose again for the sins of the whole world, which includes you. And so this thing that you're struggling with, the guilt thing, it's been forgiven. You're a child of God. That then addresses the shame issue.
What can we do to help others when it comes to guilt and shame that they might be dealing with?
So if someone comes to you and they're struggling with something, be a good listener. One of the most difficult things to do is to listen. Some people say that they're a good listener, but really they're not. They're really a good advice giver. And a lot of people love to give advice. Well, if you only do this, you know, if you only do that, and the first step, if someone's coming to you or you're working with someone who's struggling in some fashion with unforgiveness, sin, shame, guilt, just simply listen to them. Reflect back to them the things that you're hearing them say, which will help them to better understand their own situation, maybe what they're really struggling with. But just take time to listen and not give advice. And then the other thing you can do then, once you've got done listening to them, this is how you end your time with them. You say, "How may I pray for you today?" And instead of because a lot of times what happens is, "Well, let me pray for you," and I determine how I'm going to pray. Instead, you let them determine how you're going to pray, and listen for the things that they talk about and what they want you to pray for. And many times those are kind of the main issues, the big things that are really going on. And you pray for those things. You include that in your prayer, and that is a very powerful thing to do. So listening, praying for them, and then if there is, they confess to something that they've done wrong. Okay, just be the guilt thing. I did this thing. Whatever it is, make sure that you speak words of forgiveness to them. We have the most wonderful words in all the world to say to people, and that is, "You are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ." But yet, I can't tell you how many times in my own experience, people, even pastors, don't know how to speak these words. I've brought people together because I do a lot of reconciliation, mediations, things like this with people in conflict. And I remember one time I brought together a principal and a pastor. They had been fighting with each other, and the principal had spent all this time, you know, putting together what he was going to confess to pastor. And when he was done, I said to pastor, I said, "Okay, do you have anything to say to the principal?" And pastor said, "No, I'm good." And I said, "Well, your principal just confessed that he had sinned against you and does these things. Is there something you want to say?" And the pastor finally said, "Well, yeah, I'm just finally glad that he admitted that he was wrong. You know, it's about time." And what was missing is he missed the opportunity to speak words of forgiveness and say, you are forgiven. And so many times we miss that opportunity. Again, we try to be more advice-giving. But if someone's struggling with someone and they confess it or they say, it's okay to say to them, I have some good news for you. Your sin is forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what brings joy. And that's what brings peace. And if we all were doing that more, I think that would change how it is that we relate to one another and also how the world sees us as well.
Absolutely. There's power in the good news of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. And that that certainly is life changing. Being prepared to be a listener rather than an advice giver is certainly an important step. Other things that we might want to avoid or not do when someone comes to us with matters of guilt or shame.
Well, another thing that I think is important, especially if people are coming to you, is you have to realize your own sinfulness also. You can't look at yourself as, I don't sin or I have no shame or guilt that I ever wrestle with. So someone who's really good at helping others is someone who's been there themselves. And so like in the research I did, all the participants said that the reason why they were able to forgive the other person is because at some point in time they came to the realization that they were a sinner and that they needed to hear words of forgiveness. And that was just amazing to me. I didn't expect them to say that. But that's very Lutheran, too. You know, you got to get that log out of your own eye before you can remove the speck from someone else's eye. So if you've been there yourself, if you've gone to your pastor, if you've gone to individual confession absolution and you know what that's like and you've heard those words of forgiveness from someone else, well, then you've been there and you know what it's like. And it's difficult to give something you don't have. So if you have not been forgiven of sin, if you don't know what that's like or the struggle that's with guilt and shame, it's difficult then to be able to relate to others. So make sure that you're practicing the same thing that you're doing with others. Who do you talk to about the things you struggle with? Who says words of forgiveness to you? And I'm not just talking about corporate confession absolution that we did in church, but I'm talking about actually talking to another person like your pastor. So you got to practice that yourself, and as you practice it yourself, you're going to be much better off in being able to do this with others. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer talks about this in Life Together too. You know, the importance of you can't hear confession unless you're actually doing it yourself. You know, confessing to someone else, and sometimes we lose sight of that. We kind of put ourselves in a position we're the expert, or we know more, or we don't know. We don't need to be forgiven, but that person does. So you got to practice what it is that you're preaching or teaching or encouraging others to do.
In the video lecture that on guilt and forgiveness from LCMS Health Ministry, Parish Nurse Ministry, what are some of the key points that you make in that video that why we would want to check it out? And if we're serving in a congregation, whether as a parish nurse or someone else in a helping type vocation?
Sure. So I do talk about response to sin. We didn't really talk about that yet today, but like how we can run from things, attack things, and what that means and how depression and anger relate to that. I also actually give you in the lecture, I'll talk about the participants in my research and the actual words that they said and how this relates. And a lot of people find that helpful because like, yeah, I can relate to that person. When that person said this, that's exactly how I feel about it. So that's in there also. So I talk about how we can end cognitive looping or how we can end unforgiveness and the benefit of that. The other thing that I also talk about is looking at idols of the heart. So, you know, we talk about the importance of listening, but what are you listening for is important. And so you have to listen for what their fears are, what their desires are, and where their misplaced trusts are. So in the video, I'll talk about that more, how you listen for their fears, how you listen to what they desire, how they listen to where they put their trust, and why that is important to listen. So it's kind of more of an advanced thing. There's just, you know, general active listening you can learn. But it's important to listen for certain things. And as you listen for those things, you hear those things, you can better know how to lead and guide them and help them in the things that they're struggling with. And then also I do talk about, you know, how do we end unforgiveness ultimately is with Christ, is that we have a wonderful, beautiful word of forgiveness that we can share with people that we don't often share. And if we could start speaking that more to one another, because the people I've been with who I've said, hey, I have some good news for you, your sins are forgiven, it's amazing how they receive that. It's a beautiful word to them, and no one else has ever said that to them. They've gotten a lot of advice from people. Counselors give advice to them. But to have someone say your sins are forgiven, there is just nothing like it in all the world. And so I just encourage in the video, too, the importance of being able to speaking those words after you've done the listening, of course, and providing care for them.
How do you prepare your, with just about a minute left, how do you prepare your students that for these very issues as well with the pastors and our seminarians and deaconess students? How do you prepare them for this very issue as well?
Well, we teach them active listening skills, teach them about all the things I've talked about, you know. But the other thing we do is I actually give them scenarios. And so I put them, and they're scenarios from my own research, they're real life. And they have to actually counsel another party. And so they do role plays in class where they actually have to play these things out. And that's the closest I can get them without actually putting them in a situation, you know. And it's amazing as they work through this how helpful that is for them to really think through things and really working with someone who's real that has various issues that are going on in their life. So that's kind of one way how we help them to try to figure out how to implement this and how they're going to do it once they get a call.
Well, certainly a helpful resource. You can find it on lcms.org. In the Life and Health Ministry and Health Ministry, it's a parish nurse video lecture series. Dr. Mark Rockenbach of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, thanks so much for helping us take a look at this topic of guilt and forgiveness, its effect on health. Again, a free resource on lcms.org for under Parish Nurse Ministry. Thanks so much, Dr. Rockenbach.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Today, we'll continue our encore presentations of Thy Strong Word. We're waiting for Pastor Whedon to rejoin us later on this month in August. So we'll continue our study of Galatians chapter, chapter 3 or 4 today in Thy Strong Word. You're listening to Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.